Yeah, 0870 32 32 32. That's our WhatsApp number. I'm just turning my headphones up there. If a bridge can get its name from Mother Nature's product, then here in Limerick we should have Dog Poo Bridge, and we should celebrate this bridge in all its unique glory, says that person. And Enda has been on, and he says, delighted to hear your interview with Sarah about the bridge. I only heard earlier today about Dublin's latest, greatest, tastiest tourist attraction. I looked up Sarah's TikTok post and was immediately and joyously inspired to verse. Right. This is Enda. So it's an ode to the Cherry Tomato Bridge. Are you okay with this, Connor?
I'm more than happy to listen to it now.
It's local to you, is it?
It's in my neighbourhood for
right,
sure.
Okay. Whose toms these are? I do not know. Their shrine is on the Binns Bridge, though. They pluck me from my track most hasty, the missing link twixt fruit and veg, bedecking bridge's humble ledge, sweet crystal gems that give me pause. Assembled there in rude array amidst the grey of every day, I wonder who and why, how tasty, as I trudge on, full of wists. Their jewelled crispy frieze persists long after Dublin's weather thaws. Is that one of those THs that you don't pronounce?
I guess it must be.
You know, the tall.
I was just so moved by that poem, Ray. That was beautiful.
I could see you were. And my reading of it, of course. That's what I do. Spoken word.
I actually was quite close to that bridge today.
Yes.
But I didn't stop to look at the tomatoes because I have plenty of tomatoes in my fridge and I figured that's enough. You know, I don't really need to look at.
I know you might skit, but did you see the original post?
I saw the original post, yes.
Yeah, the bright red cherry tomatoes against the white frosted bridge.
I know, it looked cute. It looked pretty, right. You know. Right. But actually, my favourite post of more recent times was Waterford Whispers News had a post devoted to it, and they had the whole idea of there's being an interpretive centre is being built to celebrate Tomato Bridge, which would be at a cost of like several hundred million euro. Anyway,
I'm enjoying it more and more. Pricewatch at rte.ie. If you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer problems, we've two today, two for the price of one, which is good value. Dear Connor, I'm writing to ask your advice on what to do to get air to fix my 81-year-old uncle's phone line, which I reported a fault with on the 2nd of November. So we're talking 2 months ago. He's living in a rural part of Cork. Initially, there was no connection in or out. It took a while, but eventually he got a connection for outgoing calls. However, he cannot receive calls. I've reported this several times since. He's living on his own, 28 miles away from me, and I am his primary care. He has a panic alarm connected to said phone. He wouldn't have a clue how to work a mobile phone, so there is no point getting him one to contact him on. He has a pacemaker. He is diabetic, has mobility issues, and has early Alzheimer's. He is a gentleman who would never have had to sort out any of his problems, as his mother or brother would have sorted them out for him prior to their deaths. He had no problem answering the phone, but he has only made a handful of phone calls in his life, so it is really important that I can contact him.
Yeah, you know the way sometimes we say, oh God, I'd be lost without my phone, or I'm really dependent on my phone. And like, we have no idea what we're talking about, because this is an individual who absolutely depends on this form of contact. So it's almost a matter of life and death, if not a matter of life and death. And the idea that you'd be made to jump through multiple hoops over many weeks to try and get access to this kind of communication, it's just like it's upsetting to hear that kind of story. And there was a longer email that this person sent in, and some of the details were genuinely upsetting. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, this has to have been something that's just fallen through the cracks. So there has to be some other issues at play here. Because, you know, we talk about companies all the time. We talk about Air a lot. We talk about lots of different providers. And no company would willingly and willfully put a family through this. And I don't think Air willingly did. So I contacted them for a statement. And I think it's important to highlight their statement. So they were, you know, we appreciate the issue being brought to our attention and can confirm that within a couple of days of us contacting them, the issue was resolved. So it has been now fixed. And they've contacted the customer directly, who's the person who contacted us, to apologise. So what happened, like, there's a bit of a background to the story, because over the past year, the line had experienced multiple disruptions. And this was due to a combination of different factors. So there was issues at the exchange, there was issues with the line itself, because I'd say it probably isn't a very up-to-date phone line. I'd say it was probably put in a long time ago and has just done its thing for many, many years. And because there was so many different issues at play at the exchange and the phone line and all these different things, engineers had been out on multiple occasions to try and fix the problem, and they carried out extensive repairs. And some of it was working and some of it wasn't working. But if you're the individual involved, if you're the man in his 80s who is suffering from fairly significant health concerns and you still can't make your calls out, you just want the problem fixed. Mm. So earlier this week, and this was just before Christmas actually, earlier this week we completed the replacement of the older cable serving the property to ensure that a more reliable and improved service will be going forward. So they've basically just taken out all of the old cabling. They've sorted out the exchange issues. They've sorted out the cabling issues in the home. And I think it's important to say that Ayr then wanted to highlight that it does have, to its credit, an age-friendly care programme. So it does have a dedicated service that offers personalised customer care and technical support specifically for older people. Because it's one thing, me and you, battling with a telecoms company about something, but it's quite a different thing if you're an older person and you're vulnerable. So, and they do, you know, and they have a dedicated unit for that. And people who are in that position, people who are vulnerable, can call 1-800-252-252. And it is important. And funnily enough, I've also been contacted by people entirely unconnected with this story to tell me how effective
this
that particular service is. So it's worth acknowledging that on this occasion, I think the company failed these people for too long, but it does have a dedicated unit to help and support older people.
And do we know if the emailer knew about this service?
I don't know if they contacted them directly, but I do know that they had contacted the company on multiple occasions and they couldn't get it to work. And sometimes it can just be as simple as getting through to somebody who has either the authority or the will to see something through to the very end.
And like, I know, but that sounds so arbitrary, Connor.
It does, and it's not acceptable. And that's kind of like what so many of the problems we deal with on this show are like. It's like none of the people in these companies set out to be the villain, but more needs to be done to ensure that they can all be the good guys.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, as we've talked about in the past, is down to empowerment, it's down to ownership, it's down to training, and it's probably down to wages. Because, and I'm not specifically talking about Ayr here, but the reality is that an awful lot of companies put the lowest paid, least empowered people on the front lines to deal with customer care. And that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and as a caller, I've often found that I can't take out my frustration on the person, because I know that they don't have the power, they don't have the flexibility, they're not being paid well, so it's not fair on them.
It's not, but I can understand why sometimes people do that, because you literally can't get through to anybody else. And that whole, there used to be this kind of myth that we had in this country that you'd be speaking to somebody and you say, could I speak to your supervisor? But everybody knows now that if you ask for a supervisor, the supervisor is either not available, or they're in a meeting, or they'll call you back and then they never call you back. So what, funnily enough, what we learned, and I think we talked about it on the show last year, was there's a certain number of buzzwords that you can deploy.
Yes.
So for instance, if you say, could I get an official complaint number because I want to log a complaint with ComReg? That was one of the things that expedited calls, because the sense was within the company that if you knew enough to be making an official complaint with ComReg and you needed a complaint number, well, then you'd be pushed to the top of the queue. It shouldn't be like that.
No.
All customers should be treated equally. And as I say, in fairness to Ayr, within 48 hours of us contacting them, the problem was resolved. It shouldn't have taken our intervention for the problem to be resolved. But I suppose heading into the new year, at least this person was able to make contact.
And this is a useful number for people. It's a dedicated line for older people. 1-800-252-252.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. 1-800. Right. And I think it's important to have that kind of facility there.
Yeah. Okay. Second problem today. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. My car insurance was due for renewal at the start of the year. And when I got my quote, I was not best pleased that it had jumped from just over 600 to closer to 800 euro. It is the same car, the same address, and I've had no claims. So how can they justify such a hike? So that's a 30% hike.
Yeah, they can't. It's the shorter answer to that question. Now, we have a huge problem with car insurance, the motor insurance sector in Ireland, and we've had it for the last couple of years. The car insurance rates are increasing at 10, 12, 15 times the rates of general inflation. But 30% seems kind of outlandish. And what I would suspect is happening here is the company, and they didn't name the company, is probably chancing their arm. A lot of companies do that. They say, OK, well, you're paying 600, we've reviewed your policy, now it's going to be 780 or whatever it might be. An awful lot of people will just go, oh, fair enough. The first thing I would say to this person is, you got to call the company and have them justify it over the telephone as to why they're charging this amount. And if they don't...
Okay, so I go... So I ring...
So I've just been given this, I've just been given this quote for 700 quid. Why is that? Because it seems an awful lot higher than it was.
What are they likely to say?
Well, it depends. But I think sometimes the very act that you're... the very fact that you're proactive puts pressure on them. And then you have to take your business elsewhere. That's the only solution to the problem. So if a company says to you, we're not going to budge, 780 is our final offer, well, then you say, okay, well, then I'll shop around. And you go to brokers and you go to other companies.
You're asking a lot of people, though. You're asking a lot of them. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people wouldn't...
I know, but it's the only way the system changes is if companies know that we as consumers are more responsive to price pressures and we will do more to fight for our own fight our own battles. But that's, of course, that's the specifics of this thing. That's the only solution for this person. But we do know that there are huge problems within the motor insurance sector. And as I say, prices have gone up. The insurers will say, for instance, that motorists are making more claims. And they'll say that because of the cost of living crisis, it costs more to repair cars. And, you know, any cars that are damaged in accidents, the parts cost more. So all of the pressures that we see up and down the supply chain are impacting the motor insurance sector, our motor sector, and I'm sure they are. But the bottom line is that we also, to counter that, the government, the last government, was pushing hard to introduce all sorts of reforms, including legislation, changing the guidelines on payouts for minor injuries, encouraging more people, or indeed pushing more people into the Injuries Resolution Board, which of course takes the solicitors and the legal profession out of it, which drives the cost down. So all of the reforms should be having downward pressure on prices, but they're not having that downward pressure yet because the insurance industry is saying, oh, well, the cost of living pressures are completely canceling that out.
Can I ask you, and I don't expect you to have an answer off the top of your head, but are insurance companies experiencing profits?
Yes, they are actually.
Are they increasing?
The profits are increasing. Yes. Now, of course, it depends on the individual companies, but there have been no issues with the company's profitability margins. So they're doing quite well. So maybe they could do slightly less well and introduce more price cuts for people. But again, the only way that happens is if we as a society and as individual consumers put pressure on them. And it is a big ask. It is. I'm not going to pretend it isn't.
Yeah. And are there any websites that can people go to get comparisons?
No, there are various different companies that offer multiple price comparisons and brokerages, online brokerages and stuff. Yeah. But it's not like the Health Insurance Authority, which has like a special website.
So there isn't a government body?
To monitoring prices? No, I don't think so.
No. Okay, so your advice is shop around.
That's all I can say.
Right. God. Yeah, we shouldn't be here. Anyway, pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. And we'll talk to Conor again next Monday. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.